Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Second slice, third slice, don't know. It's all good, whatever slice it is. Thank you so much. Reminding us of that circle of light that is always around us. And it dovetails into how I was going to introduce this talk this morning, how we're all interconnected with this circle of light. It was about 2009, I went to the Parliament of World Religions in Barcelona, Spain. And there were about 8,000 to 10,000 people from maybe 80 countries, 50 religions being represented. And they all came from, you know, different perspectives and had their garbs and colorful. It was a magnificent array of people. And we had a contingent of New Thought folks that included Unity, you know, religious science, now known as Centers for Spiritual Living, and you know, Agape, the Universal Foundation for Better Living, founded by Johnny Coleman in Chicago, had a number of churches, as well as other New Thought organizations. And because New Thought was not really that well known amongst the parliament, we were arranged to have a presentation of the different representatives from these organizations. And the whole idea was to take a religious principle or a religious pathway and find out what principle related to New Thought. And I happened to get the principle or the religion of Jainism, which is an offshoot of Hinduism. And I focused specifically on this concept called ahimsa, which is nonviolence in so many words, and how that related to our concept or principle of peace. And as I went through and researched it, I realized that this particular strand of spirituality embraced a diversity of beliefs. And they were very open-minded. And they were very open to other spiritual paths. And I was reminded of a statement from the Hindu tradition that says that truth is one, but sages or spiritual teachers call it by different names. So as we approach Christmas, this mass celebration of the Christ in December, it reminded me of a question that was posed to me by one of my spiritual teachers. And he said, imagine if Jesus was seated at a table, and at this table was a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Zoroastrian, a Shintoist. Do you think he would turn to all of them and say, you must forsake your beliefs and accept mine? Well, I don't think he would do that. I don't think that was his stance, because I believe that he came here to free humanity from formal religion, because he taught spiritual principles that were about universality, that anyone, regardless of what path they may be on, or if they had no path at all, they can apply it to their life. And so as I look at December, in addition to Christmas, there are several celebrations that are taking place. You know, they include Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, the winter solstice, Diwali, just to name a few. And they all have something in common as I looked at each of them. They all make mention or bring up this idea of the light. You know, in Hanukkah, there's a celebration of lighting the menorahs. In Kwanzaa, which is a seven-day holiday or celebration that celebrates African-American culture or African culture, And they have rituals for those 7 days. And each day they light a different candle that represents that ritual on something called the Kanara. In the winter solstice, it celebrates the rebirth of the sun because the days get longer from then on out. So it's relating to light in some way. And the Festival of the Lights, also known as Diwali, has a 5-day period as well. We're even going to do a number of things, including Advent Spiral on December the 18th. And there's candles, I believe, lit for that, as well as our regular candlelight service. And I remember when I lived in Missouri, in Kansas City, if you went down to a place called the Plaza, that during the Christmas season, before it would start, they had this big event. And like in the Plaza, they had all the hotels and the restaurants and nightlife. And for a 15-block area, every single building was lit up during the Christmas season. I mean, it's such a big deal that people would rent hotel rooms just to see the moment that the lights came on. And so I thought about that as I thought about today's topic about the season of the lights. Because all of those celebrations lift, I think, our collective humanity to another level. As if people are stopping for just a moment of their life, pulling themselves away from their daily habits, their daily routines, in order to celebrate the love and the givingness of spirit. And while each experience appears to be different, at bottom, they're all celebrating the same essence. They're talking about the light, not necessarily the outer light, but the inner light that it represents within all of us. You know, Jesus was a mystic and a prophet and a seer of the ages. And most importantly, of course, he was the great example of our possibilities. And he reminded us of this essence that we all have. He called this essence the light that lighteth up every man and woman that cometh into the world. It is the Shekinah of the soul, as in the Hebrew tradition. It's something that is very real within all of us. And if we can but walk in this awareness and affirm and talk from this awareness and practice these sacred principles, we'll acknowledge this presence of God as our life. And we will be in the number, constantly celebrating our true nature and being the light of ourselves. It is the gift of the eternal that we've all been given. Understand that this light of our being is what we are. And whenever anyone celebrates or expresses that light, and we're around that person, we are lifted up. I remember a number of years ago, I was attending a friend's 65th birthday. And there was a person who stood up to give testimony to this particular person who happened to be an attorney. And I was in that circle at that time. And we had a lot of characters in our circle. But this particular attorney, he was an honest attorney. He was a loving, kind attorney. He was an attorney of very rare ilk. And this person was sharing about his consciousness and how he strived to show up so that people around him would want to be better. And as I thought about that, I thought about the movie As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson. You remember that movie? Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt was in that movie. And Jack Nicholson was playing a character that had some, OCD, some issues. And whenever he talked to someone, even if he was trying to give them a compliment, it would just come out all horrible, and it would really be a put down. And he had done this with his love interest, Helen Hunt. And at one point, she was really upset because she never got anything positive from him. And she said, could you say something positive about me? And he thought about it for a moment, let me tell you. Do you remember the time that you came by and you ended up leaving? And I must have said something that upset you. And I was upset that you left. And so, as you know, I have this condition. And the doctor said that in order to deal with this condition, I had to take this pill every single day. And I hate pills. I never took those pills. But that day when you left, I decided to take the pill. And he waited, and Helen Hunt asked him, well, how is that a compliment to me? And he said these very words, you make me want to be a better man. She said that was the greatest compliment she had ever heard in her life. But anyway, I digress. I'm going back to the attorney that they were giving this tribute to. And the person got up and they were quoting Dear Abby. I don't know if you remember Dear Abby. You used to have the advice column. Now they got, you know, all kinds of, columnists and reporters and gossip columnists. And anyway, that person was quoting Dear Abby. And he said, I don't want to be trite, but in the Dear Abby column, she talked about two kinds of people. There's the kind of people that walk in, when you walk into a room, they say to themselves, well, here I am. And then there's the kind of people that when you walk into a room, they say, there you are. They light up something within them. And the person went on to say that when this attorney came in, he walked into the room, and he had that energy that said, when you walked in, there you are. He made you feel special. It's a consciousness of compassion and nurturing and caretaking, and not this here I am, that selfish perspective, but there you are. And I think to walk with that kind of consciousness is to express the light. You know, esoterically, our body, temple, is described as a large optic nerve. And when attending and our attention is focused and our resolve is absolutely anchored in our true nature and being, and we're coming from that space, we can hear the words of the master teacher saying that when your eye is single, your body shall be full of life. When it's single on who you really are. And so we are all that optic nerve. And when properly focused, we glow, we light up, we light up the world, which is why he said, ye are the light. As I like to say, he didn't say, give me a light, bud or otherwise. He said, ye are the light, the light of every person that comes into the world. And that's our real identity. And when we contemplate that, we realize that that identity is not about a religion. It's just what it is. Just like water is wet, we don't make a religion out of it. That's the way it is. And our life is hid in that light. Our light is here to express who we really are. And as we do, we shine, and we either have that happen through our pains in life or our insight. You know, we may try to frustrate the light, but ultimately, I don't believe we can stop it. You know, it's like the time that someone came to, you know, a Unity service and said they could never come back. And thought that they were being insulted by what was going on. But he said, and the reason I can't come back is that y'all didn't talk about, you know, being a born sinner. You didn't talk about hell. Didn't talk about damnation. And when I come, I want to feel bad. And so when I feel bad, I feel good. And y'all didn't make me feel bad, so I didn't feel good today. There was a weird logic. But anyway, eventually they did come back because they were open to the light that was in them. You know, one of the most memorable experiences of being at the parliament, those were years ago when it was held in Barcelona, was the sharing of women and mothers. And they were from Palestine and they were from Israel. And if we read about the conflict that goes on in that region of the world, and it's very intense. And I didn't realize how intense the emotions were until I spoke to a friend of mine who happened to, he became a friend, he ran a store. And I used to talk to him regularly when I came by. And I don't know how this conversation came up. We were talking, and I mentioned something about Israel, and his whole countenance changed. He was sending out a lot of harsh, venomous, angry energy. I mean, it was so intense, I thought, I better leave before he does something to me because I brought this up. But it just represented to me how intense the relationship is and antagonistic it was. And there were representatives from these two groups, and they explained that they decided to come together. And they were going to break down the barriers that separated them. And as their leaders were continuing their conflicts, in which caused the death of many of their children, these women explained that they were going to mourn together. And they shared with each other. They broke bread together. They shared their common pain of losing family members to the conflicts that have been taking place over all of those years. And they had a common vision. And they said that we'll never lose a loved one again. And we're going to find ways to peacefully build bridges between Israel and Palestine. That was their mission. It was a mostly moving experience for all those who were there and who knew about how intense the relationship was. And they moved beyond their beliefs. They taught each other how is it they could work together for good. How can they get beyond their doctrines and differences and separations and countries and their history and be open to the insights and revelations and come not from their shadow but come from their light. You know, later on in that event, there was an interfaith gathering that many of us attended. And the person challenged those present to come to an understanding that this thing we call spirit, this great spirit that we all relate to, is simply too big for any denomination or spiritual tradition or any philosophy to hold in check. And it's our task to lose attachment to our own points of view long enough to catch the unlimited potential of this presence. And later on, I don't know if that event or the other one, it was another event I was with, and it happened to be with the Dalai Lama. I wasn't with him, but I was with another people who came to a breakfast. And they used to talk about how when he showed up, the room would seemingly light up. And I heard about that, but I said, I don't think that's true. Anyway, and when he walked in the room, he did seem to have a countenance that changed the whole energy field. And someone posed a question to him during this dialogue. And I don't remember what the question was, but he said in response something like this. I used to answer that question as if I was a Buddhist. But I realized by doing that, I was narrowing my field of perception. So I opened myself up and I got fresh insight and it made me a better Buddhist. It was a profound statement, I thought, coming from such an enlightened being. I think in order for us to open up to fresh insight, there are times we want to get off our positions. We want to drop our opinions. When we do, we can see beyond the veil of what we think to be true. I think the women at that parliament demonstrated that and demonstrated that the challenges that we face, the difficulties that we encounter, the conflicts rooted in history need not have the final word. They're nothing more than raw material that gives us an opportunity to rise above our limited human perceptions and shine that inherent light that we all are. So this month is the beginning of the seasons of the light. It's about a vibration. It's about lifting our attention. It's our own kind of rite of passage into the greatest of who we can be. And this is achieved not by adding anything to us. We don't have to add anything to us. I don't think we come here to any way, shape, or form to add anything to us. We already have everything. It's about releasing the light inhibitors, releasing the peace inhibitors, releasing the grace inhibitors, releasing the things that we may be frustrating from coming through. And I think Jesus gave us some guidelines, or as I like to say, Godlines, to release those inhibitors. He said, the measure you give is the measure you get. I think we're reminded this season that our consciousness of giving should be real and authentic. And when we do that, it begins to eliminate, it dissolves the main obstacle for the eternal light from shining forth. And if I were to put it in a song, it would go something like this. Me, 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 me. I. My. Now, that probably all off tune. I don't even know what song that is. It's a James Trapp song. But that's really a consciousness of selfishness. It's one of the leading obstacles from the light from coming through. It keeps us myopic. We're not seeing our true self, not realizing that we're connected to everything and everyone, that circle of light. You know, Martin Luther King reminded us that we're all inextricably linked to everyone on the planet. What happens to one of us happens to all of us. And so that me, I, my consciousness serves as an inhibitor. It blocks the grace, but it can be dissolved when we get intentional about it. And I think this particular season of the lights is really about the attention on giving rather than giving way to the gross materialism sometimes rises up during this time of the year. It reminds us of the gift of light that is within all of us. And we're here to share that gift, to glow, to radiate, to shine, and to be ourselves. In a small way, I saw it was represented by a video I saw on YouTube. And I think we're going to see that video like right about now. And you'll get an idea of what it means to shine the lights. This is a 7-year-old boy with his young brother. And I think it represented that light that is within each and every one of us.
I think in that little short video, it's a living demonstration of shining the light that's within each and every one of us. I think it serves as a contrast sometimes of the gross materialism and consumerism that takes over during the times this time of the season, that sometimes it blocks the gift of the light. And of course, there's nothing wrong with the gifts and nothing wrong with business making money, because we must realize the real purpose of a business is to deliver service, and it activates the light. Even in our medical field with so many challenges, it's really about healing and it activates the light. An artistic model is about displaying the good of God, and the music is about the sounds of spirit being expressed so that we can be at one with this presence. I think anything we do on a material plane is fine if it's spiritually grounded and centered on the gift of the eternal, the gift of the light. And if it's expressed, it indicates why we are here. So I think the season of lights reminds us of all of this. So we must check ourselves and see where we have been run by a limited point of view or being run by the activation of the gift within us that says to give, to share, to let, to allow, and be and proclaim the presence and the power and the love of God that is within us. We are here to be the great givers,
the great radiators of the divine spirit. And I think this is the season that the lights are all about. Peace and blessings to you. So it is, and so we let it be as we start the season of the lights.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.